Hi, I'm Daniel Enzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak with Karo Ishibashi. Kishibashi is the stage name of Karo Ishibashi, who is a multi-instrumentalist, singer, and composer known for his innovative blend of indie pop, classical, and experimental music. In 2024, he released Kantos, a party album about the possible end of humanity as we know it that turns deeply unsettling and sublimely joyful. On Monday, May 12, 2025, Kishibashi with the Oshima Brothers will be at Asbury Hall at Babeville. Tickets are available in the show notes and at babevillebuffalo.com. In this interview, we discuss the rigor of classical music, the inspiration for the new album, and the joy of a Kishibashi performance. I hope you enjoy my interview with Karo. Kishibashi, Karo, thank you so much for chatting with me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I always like to start my interviews by asking, is there a story from your childhood that connects to what you do now?
Yeah, I mean, I've always like been attached to the violin. So I think that's something that I've always continued to play, you know, and even to this day, it's something that I enjoy playing a lot.
You know, I know how sort of rigorous, I work at a school of music, and I know how rigorous violin study is. I'm interested to know, does the sort of discipline that you had to sort of find in your childhood still sort of support you or find its way into your artistry now?
I think, you know, classical violin is extremely rigorous, so I think a lot of the technical aspects have really benefited me, you know, in that like my intonation, my rhythm, things like that. As far as like being creative, I think these are things that I've discovered more as an adult.
Speaking of that, I mean, your music, I would say, in terms of kind of being creative, is at the sort of incredible height of creativity. Your music incorporates classical sounds, rock, electronic music, beatboxing. Do you remember the moment that you began to sort of synthesize all of these genres together? What was that moment?
You know, it was a kind of thing where I don't think there was a singular moment. You know, I came from classical music, then I went to jazz violin, then I got into a rock band and I started singing in it. And I think eventually that turned in all that training kind of prepared me to kind of to tap into what I thought was made me unique, stick out as a songwriter. And that's kind of like violinistic songwriting and singing.
So much of your work, I feel like, you know, I sort of first discovered you on YouTube, I think as many people may have during the Tiny Desk concert. And I was blown away by your ability to kind of loop and to use the loop pedal in that performance. How do you find a balance between sort of technology and classical form, maybe in live performance or in the studio?
Yeah, I think I definitely try and incorporate classical music because I know it's something I'm really attached to, and but ultimately I'm just an indie rock singer songwriter. So I think I kind of tap into, I use the violin as a jump point, but then after that I just do what I want.
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's great. You also studied film scoring at Berkeley. How does that sort of education inform your artistry?
I think, I mean, my music is often cinematic because I do see visuals as like, so, and I think they can be intertwined. I think when I think of large stories and ideas, they also kind of drive, or the music, I can find music that drives that. So, oftentimes I think I have big feelings that I like to tap into, and that's why my music can seem cinematic.
I'm so interested in your inspirations, your 2019 album, and forgive my pronunciation if I say this wrong, but Omayari was inspired by the Japanese-American internment during World War II. And your latest album, Kantos, is a party album about the possible end of humanity as we know it. Where do sort of the inspiration for these large-scale projects and albums come from?
Well, I'm very lucky in that I can start to think about conceptually, you know, oftentimes like I have like large ideas that I want to tap into, and then I have a period of exploration. But oftentimes it's I won't fab an album until I spend a good amount of time like pursuing these musical avenues. But I think compared to like the 2019 Omoyedi album, you know, I think I just wanted to do something different, you know, something that was not connected to history or social justice issues. I just wanted to think more about human creativity because I think it was a time when people were really starting to get excited and fearful of like AI and like how it could like take over our creative lives. And ultimately, I think I started to feel more confident in human creativity and like and the fact that people still want to see the humanity in art. And I think that's where a lot of the you know that's why it's a party album. You know, I don't know that computers can really party yet on their own.
I'd like to see them try. For listeners who might want to sort of stream a song from that album from Kantos, which is the latest album, where would you recommend they start?
At the top of the album, I guess, you know. You mean from my latest album?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can start with track one. You know, it kind of yeah, it run it it's been sequenced so that it can uplift you, you know.
Listeners also might be familiar with you from your work on from sort of hearing some of your music featured on many streaming shows. What's the experience like for you to see your work kind of supporting or mixed with or heightening a work in another medium?
You know, I'm extremely honored that, you know, like filmmakers actually reach out and ask to use my music. For example, like that Rick and Morty, there was a Rick and Morty episode that really, you know, as a fan, I was like, that was a huge moment for me because it was written into the script and, the song was written into the script.
Wow.
And I think I had to keep it a secret for months. So that was extremely exciting for me.
So you are coming to Buffalo on May 12th. You're doing a show at Asbury Hall. How does the set list for that show come together? How much room is there for improvisation within the set list?
Well, I like to use improvisation in that like there's solos and there's like solos like places where I interact with my other musicians. So basically this is a trio, like a power trio, no drums, but we're all like amplified. And I like to think of the set list honestly as more of like a show, you know, like a traveling Broadway show. You know, they don't really change anything up. They present it to people.
So people bring so many different experiences with them when they come to the theater, when they come to see a concert. What is your sort of hope for maybe an experience that an audience member has at the upcoming show?
Well, my shows are a lot of fun, and it's kind of like it's like a catharsis. You know, I like to really bring people the joy and you know as much as I can, and kind of help them forget about you know the problems of the world. You know, I understand that everybody's making a huge amount of effort, paying money, you know, get a babysitter, you know, coming out, and so I try and give them like a show, and I think that's and I think a lot of people take that away, and that I'm making a real concerted effort to entertain.
Is there anything that you would hope that audience members might discuss or might say on the ride home? Like, if you could be a fly on the wall, what would sort of ideally they might say?
I would hope they would tell their friends so that I could continue coming back to Buffalo, you know, over and over, so the shows get bigger and bigger, and then you know, it's like it's yeah, I'm just hoping that they would spread the word
Excellent.
about
Thank you
my
so much
music.
for your time. Those are my questions, but I always like to end an interview by asking, like, is there anything left unsaid or anything that you'd like to speak about before we say goodbye?
It's an extremely fun show, and we got the Oshima Brothers opening, and they're great. So I think everybody will be, if you haven't been to a show, would be pleasantly delighted.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. I'll be there. I'll see, I'll be waving from the audience. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed my conversation. Kantos is available on all streaming platforms. Kishibashi with the Oshima Brothers will be at Asbury Hall at Babeville on Monday, May 12, 2025. Tickets are available in the show notes and at babevillebuffalo.com. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising, Local Matters Studios.